All right. Thank you. All right. I would like to ask for a strong volunteer. Who will come and serve me and help me up here? Hey, you pick yourself. You get a choice. And if you don't say yes, I have to figure out what to do. Who will help me? Daniel. Come on, Daniel. Thank you. Whew. A brave soul. Come stand up here with me. I need your presence about right there, okay? I need you to help carry something for me today. Okay, just over there, please. Please? No, over there, please. Okay. All right. One's for me. Okay. This one's for you. Got it?
Yep.
How's that feel?
Kind of heavy.
Okay. Just kind of, though. That's good. I have one too, so it's fair. There's something about the human condition where we feel like something is missing. We just grow up that way, feel like something's missing. And the reason we feel that way is because of a separation, a disconnection between us and a good God, a loving God who cares for us. And even if you're not religious, you feel that. You feel that sense of disconnectedness. And you can call it a God-shaped hole. We always try to fill that hole with something, but no matter what we fill it with, it doesn't really work. It disappoints because it's not God. It's not enough. And so all these different religions and life philosophies, they kind of postulate a standard of righteousness, a way to be made right with God. The reason that we're separated is because there's something wrong and we need to be made right in relationship with God. And so whatever that teaching is, or maybe it's a standard you come up with on your own, it's a burden of righteousness that you have to carry and offer to God so that you can be made right in relationship with him. Okay? Follow me? So this is your righteousness. A rock of righteousness. You, sir, are more righteous than I. Wow. Okay. Especially this morning. Okay. We've been following a thread through the book of Romans, which isn't really a book. It's a letter that the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Rome, and there's a couple types of believers in that church. There's the Jews, and there's the Gentiles. Now, the Jews, little Jewish boys, were circumcised on the eighth day because their ancestor Abraham was, as a sign of God's promise to him and all his descendants. And then they grow up from there learning how to obey all 613 of these laws that the Lord gives. And so they're carrying this heavy burden, this law, this is 613 laws. You got to carry all this, okay? And then you have the Gentile believers who they like grow up, they don't know anything about the law of God, and maybe in their house they learn a couple things of what it means to be a good person, and whatever that stuff is, that's their burden of righteousness that they're carrying. And so they hear, both of them hear about Jesus, that Jesus came and said, hey, look, you're not actually saved by your own work. You're saved by my works, by my life and death and resurrection. I took away your sin, and I'm giving you my righteousness instead so you can be made right with God. And so the Gentile believers are like, oh, that's great. I don't have to carry this around anymore. And the Jewish believers are like, yeah, that's great. But this stuff still matters, right? Like, this is the law of God. Like, God gave us this law. It's got to be good, right? We can just set that down. And Gentile believers, it's not really fair for you to just kind of like do whatever you want. Like maybe you should at least, you know, be circumcised to show that you're included with the people of God. And, you know, maybe there's some other stuff that you should carry too. And the Jewish believers, they kind of have a point. They have a little bit of a point because you wouldn't want to just say, oh, I'm great. I'm completely forgiven. So now I have a license to sin and do whatever the heck I want, right? If the forgiveness and grace of God doesn't impact our lives, it's for one of two reasons. Either we haven't understood the horror and the depth of our sin with accuracy, or We haven't understood what it feels like to be completely forgiven. So we heard about sin last week from Pastor Jay, and this week we're going to talk about what it means to be forgiven. So what does it look like to embrace complete forgiveness? Let's pray. Father, I believe you're going to speak to your church today. And I believe you're going to speak beyond my words in a way that is powerful. Would you open our ears to listen for your voice? In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, someone has to carry that. Someone has to carry this. So let's all imagine for a moment that you're standing at the foot of a mountain. You're going up that mountain to meet with God, to be reconciled to God. It's a beautiful vista, too, a cliff overlooking a glistening sea. And so you're getting, there's the catch, you have to carry your righteousness, your gift of righteousness up there to meet with God. And you offer that to him at the top. This is what you offer God so that he will accept you and you'll be made right with God. And so when you imagine your own stone of righteousness that you're carrying today up that mountain to meet with God, what does it look like? Is it big and impressive? Is it small and insignificant? Is it in pieces? What does it look like? And it's important that it's a gift too, right? You're offering this to God, so I'm not going to make you stand here all day. However, I mean, we're offering a gift to God. So I'll just give you a choice, Daniel. Like, do you want to set that down or would you like to keep going?
I would like to be righteous for God, but it's heavy and I want to set it down.
Okay. Well, now you've searched out the possibilities. All you have left is to make a choice. He said, I would like to be righteous before God, but it's heavy and I would like to set this down. So which one are you going to do?
I'm gonna keep carrying it.
Okay, you're going to keep carrying it. How does it make you feel that he's going to keep carrying it? When you think about it, when you see him, what does that make you think about Daniel? Do you feel a sense of, like, yeah, courage, perseverance, strength, pride? I don't know. We'll see what happens. So there's real tension between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers forming in front of everyone at the church. And part of that is just trying to figure out, how are we really saved? How were we made right with God? And so here's what Paul writes in chapter 4 of his letter to Rome. It's referring to their patriarch, Abraham. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scriptures tell us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith, not because of what he did. In fact, Abraham, who received the covenant of circumcision, the reason God gave that to him is because God made a promise to him. He said, even though you're about 100 years old and as good as dead, you're going to be the father of many nations, and all the world will be blessed through you. And Abraham believed God, and God counted it as righteous, counted him as righteous because of his faith. Then after that, he said, now you're going to have this covenant of circumcision, and everyone who comes from you is going to have that happen, and it's be a sign that you're included in God's people. So what Paul's saying in here is that work that was done happened after the faith, not before it. Paul's thought here is that we are saved. It is faith in what God can do that saves us, not in our own efforts, not our own efforts. It is faith in what God can do that saves us, not our own efforts. Do you hear that? It's faith in what God can do that saves us, not our own efforts. Would you like to set that down?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's give him a hand. I'm sorry, that wasn't clear. Someone has to carry it. Who will do that? Who will give him a hand? All right, come on up. All right, How do you feel, Daniel?
I feel light.
You feel light? Well, how do you feel that your lightness is his burden? Okay. How do you feel?
Fine.
Come stand a little closer to me. All right, that's good. Well, that's too close. Just kidding. You're doing great. You're doing good. Okay. Chapter 4, he continues. Paul says, when people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. God who forgives sinners. That sounds really good. Forgiveness. That just makes me feel lighter as I think about forgiveness. And then he goes into talking about all the joy we feel, and he quotes a psalm from David, Psalm 32. We're going to skip the part about forgiveness, though, because we are carrying a rock of righteousness up a hill for God. Okay, so we're going to keep going up that hill, and we're going to skip the part about forgiveness. And then we're going to go to the part that it says in verse 15. Because you're carrying the law right now. You're carrying righteousness. This is it. This is you're doing good stuff for God. Here's what you have to look forward to. Verse 15. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. Wow. Did you know that when you came up here to hold that rock, what you were choosing, when you took on a rock of righteousness to try to obey it, was you were just incurring punishment upon yourself? You did know that. Okay. Fantastic. Clear-headed, at least. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. I want you to catch this. Any burden of righteousness we try to carry on our own will become a burden of sin. Any burden of righteousness we try to carry on our own will become a burden of sin. What does that mean exactly? It means there's something in our flesh that no matter what law or standard we try to make for ourselves, or maybe it's one that God has given us to love our neighbor, right? To love our enemies, to not take revenge. There's something that happens in us where we're like, there's just times where we're like, but it would feel really good to take revenge. And maybe the thing that will fulfill me is hiding behind that command to not do this. So what if I just did it, right? Then we make other smaller standards of righteousness. Maybe it's like a New Year's resolution, or it's like a diet and exercise thing. I'm trying to get healthy after the holidays, but I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch what I eat. I'm going to make better decisions and be more conscious. And I'm walking through the kitchen. And I'm going to say, why does everybody give us candy? Everyone that we know just gives us candy. It's just sitting everywhere, all the time. It's chocolate-covered cherries. Cherries are fruit. It's probably good for me. I'll just read the back, see what it says. 58% of my daily value of saturated fat. That feels like a lot. Oh, that's three pieces. Just one would be for sure less than that. Right? There's like ways that we did. I'm sorry for taking you through my entire mental process with the cherries. But I'm just saying there's a way that when we have a standard of righteousness, we can't even live up to it. It becomes just something that sits on our conscience eventually. It sits on our conscience. We carry it with us. And so we're halfway up that mountain with a rock of righteousness to give to God. And we realize when we look down, the thing we're carrying to offer him is all of our sin. And it's heavy, and we don't know what to do with it. And we're pretty sure that when we offer it to him, he's not going to be impressed. Verse 16, so this is what Paul says, the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. It's received by faith. It's given as a free gift. A free gift. That seems to suggest that we don't have to earn our way to God, that we don't have to carry this burden of righteousness that will inevitably become a burden of sin. We can set it down and have a free gift of God's salvation. Do you want that? Do you want to keep carrying this, or you want to set it down?
I'll keep carrying it.
Okay. What do you think about that? What does it say about a person? Offer the freedom to set down a burden and continues to carry it. What do you think it says? I didn't ask you to talk. I just asked you to carry a rock. It's okay. That's right. We're going to go back to the part about forgiveness. He quotes from Psalm 32, and we're going to read from that psalm. This is what a person feels like when they lay the burden down and when they feel completely forgiven. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. Another version says, in whose spirit there is no deceit. There's no heaviness on the conscience. There's complete forgiveness. Someone has to carry it.
You sure you want this?
Okay. You can have a seat if you want. I'll take it from here.
You sure?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, sure. Sure.
I can carry it.
That's right. You can?
Yeah.
How far can you carry it? Can you carry it all the way up the mountain?
I'll try.
You would?
I'll do my best.
All right, here. Take this back. Sorry, I just want to... feel like I... Be back in a second. It's open. All right, let me just... I'm going to need you to carry my righteousness too, so... You got it? Don't drop it.
Hold this.
Wait, I thought you were going to... Okay. Okay, we're going to go like this. That's old. You sure? Like, you're sure now. Because it was me who wasn't sure before, but you seem not sure again.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay. When David uses the word forgiven, there's a lot of words for forgiven in the Hebrew Scriptures, but the one that's used is to be carried away. When my sins are forgiven, they're carried away. Carried away. But when I refuse to confess my sin, it says in verse 3, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy upon me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. This is what it feels like in our conscience to carry sin, to carry a burden of righteousness on our own, to refuse to lay it down. You ready? Gonna be done? Okay. Finally, verse 5. I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Finally, I confessed my sins. The word for confess there is yada. And there's another word that's pronounced slightly different but spelled exactly the same in Hebrew, and it means to praise. And so the yada of confess has a symbol to it of throwing your arms up, like you're throwing off a heavy burden, throwing it off. And then once your arms are up there, you just keep them up and you praise. Thank you, Jesus, for freedom. Thank you for forgiveness. You know, we go through our life and we walk up that hill and we feel like anytime we have this burden of sin, burden of righteousness that we're carrying, we're going back to time and time again and we're failing and we want to ask God for grace and forgiveness, but we think he's probably just annoyed with us. But the reality is exactly the opposite. We're walking up that mountain and someone's saying, Jesus is saying to us, please, please lay down that burden. Please hand that to me. I will carry that. I know someone has to carry it. I will carry that for you. Please lay it down. And so many times we're like annoyed. Like, you think I can't do it? I can do this. I can do this on my own. Or sometimes we're more polite about it. Sometimes it's more like, oh no, I don't want you to feel put out by me, Jesus. I'll take it from here. Begging, I already did it. I already did everything I needed to do. Believe that what I did was good enough to forgive you. Throw it off. Therefore, verse 6, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. Any burden of righteousness we carry on our own will become a burden of sin, will become a burden of judgment that we cannot bear. So what does it look like to be completely forgiven? Confess and carry less. I'm going to have you lay that down if you're willing. Hey, I think you did a really good job.
Thank you.
And I'm not God, so my opinion doesn't matter. So, hey, but go have a seat. You did great. Confess and carry less. For some of us, maybe the burden is really deep, you know, that the shame is really deep, and so it's hard to go and confess to someone else. I mean, James chapter 5 says, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. But maybe for some of you, what you're carrying is just feels like too much to say out loud to another person, and so you're hiding, and you're hiding, and you feel the weight of it. You feel like you deserve to be punished for it, and so you're fine bearing the weight of that by yourself. But if it's too hard to confess and carry less with another person, and you're insisting upon hiding, listen to this next verse. Verse 7, David says, you, O Lord, are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. If you insist on hiding, make the Lord your hiding place. Start there. Authentic relationships with one another start with authenticity with God, to go to him and to confess everything to him. Everything. And to feel him put his arms around you and say, it's okay. You are forgiven and saved, not by your works, but by the work of Jesus. So when I look at you, I see his righteousness, and it's enough. This is a gift that Paul said was a free gift. But it's not free. It's paid for. There's a difference. It's free to us. But it's not free. It was paid for at great cost when Jesus, with his own blood, purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Because someone has to carry this. This that we were holding was love your neighbor, but we hated our neighbor. This was don't take out revenge, but we have revenge in our hearts. This was be a person of integrity, but we shatter our vows and our promises. This righteousness was sin, and it fell down, and now the poor and the hungry and the orphan and the widow and the foreigner are oppressed. Someone has to carry that. God doesn't just say, great, you're forgiven, don't worry about it. No. Someone had to pay for it. And Jesus took it up, and he took all the sin that we committed, all the judgment we deserved, and it fell upon him. And he paid for it. Justice was made right. We were made right because he took the judgment we deserved, and he gave us his righteousness instead so that we could be free. Hallelujah. This is how David ends his psalm in chapter in verse 11. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. Again, not because of our righteousness, but because of his. There's three words he uses in that passage. The first one is about having your countenance brightened. Just imagine being hopeless and then hearing good news and then lifting your face. The second one is about jumping and turning for joy, like Will Ferrell, an elf, when he finds out Santa Claus is visiting. Like, that's the image from the Hebrew word. I can't believe I just compared the Hebrew scriptures to elf. Hey, man, if the shoe fits. And the other thing It's a shout of exultation. So do you want to know what it looks like to embrace complete forgiveness? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus! Yes! Thank you, Jesus! And if there's any practical there, celebrate. Celebrate. Celebrate your freedom. Celebrate your forgiveness. You want to know how we go from people whose feet are swift to shed blood to people whose feet are beautiful, bringing good news? It doesn't come from shaming ourselves and guilting ourselves into righteousness. And it doesn't come from using grace and forgiveness as a license to sin. It comes from recognizing the weight and the depth of our sin and how much it hurts. And then realizing that God completely forgave us at great cost to Jesus. And that to believe that in faith gives you a new lease on life. And now we belong to Him. So that everything that we do now, we're listening for His voice. We're following after Him. And so the reason our feet are beautiful is because we're going to people who are carrying heavy burdens and saying, you don't have to carry that anymore. There's something new for you. And we can give them good news. We can tell them there's freedom for them. Because His forgiveness is complete. So we made it up that mountain. If you try to carry this on your own, you're going to fall over the cliff into that glistening sea. But if you let Jesus carry that sin up the mountain, He tells us exactly what He's going to do. In Micah 7:19, He says, the Lord will again have compassion on us. He will trample our sin under His feet, and He will hurl our transgressions into the depths of the sea. And you know what happens when you drop a big, heavy boulder into the depths of the sea? Ripples. Ripples that start small, and they go out, and they become waves. And that's exactly what you're going to do as you make a habit of coming to Jesus, walking with Him day after day, confessing, repenting, receiving His grace, knowing that you're a work in progress, and it's grace that's going to get you there, not your own effort. Amen. Let's pray. Father, if there's any just 0.1% that is of shame or sin that is holding someone back from receiving your complete forgiveness today, I pray you wipe it out. You give us a restored joy in our salvation, a freedom that we use to love and to bless and to seek justice and seek what is good in the world out of the freedom that comes from being your kids. I mean, our identity and our value in you. Help us to lay down our heavy burdens, to hear your voice and believe it when you say, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Thank you for carrying our sin for us. Thank you for carrying righteousness for us so that we can be made right and at peace with God, to receive the lover of our souls and be filled up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.